So let's turn this evening into the book of Philemon. Now, if you don't know where that is, it's right after Titus. If you don't know where that is, that's right after 1st and 2nd Timothy. 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. What a wonderful epistle that this is, that Paul wrote to an individual that he had led to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wrote this epistle to Philemon, perhaps when he wrote the epistle to the Colossians, and he sent both of them perhaps with Tychicus and Onesimus, as we read in Colossians 4 and 9. He also wrote this epistle and the epistle to the Philippians and the Ephesians when he was in the Roman prison on his first imprisonment in Rome from 59 to 61 A.D. So we want to look here this evening at what we've been thinking about in John's Gospel, chapter 13, and verse 34, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." What's the rest of it? "As I have loved you." Now, remember this, and so the Apostle Paul tells us in the epistle to the Corinthians, he says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Now we want to see how the Apostle Paul did that following, and he wants you and he wants me to follow in the same way. So this is an intensely personal letter that Paul writes to Philemon. And despite the shortness of it, it has a great deal about the pleasantness and warmth and love of Paul. And we want to see that in this wonderful little epistle, how important that it is. Now, if you'll notice, in the first verse, it says, "Paul, a prisoner." Now, this is the only epistle that Paul wrote where he addresses the person in that manner. All the rest of them are Paul the apostle or Paul the servant, and then he goes on to say that he is an apostle, all except two epistles, and I can't figure that out. I thought maybe Mr. Bramhall would be here tonight and he could tell. But the epistles to the Thessalonians, they don't reveal that. They just say Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And I don't know why he didn't use that apostleship, but anyhow, this is the only one that he says that he's a prisoner. And that means that he's locked in to, or he's locked in with, or he's locked in because of. Now really, as far as the world was concerned, where was he a prisoner? I just told you a while ago. Rome. He was a prisoner in Rome. But as far as if he hadn't been preaching the Lord Jesus, he wouldn't have been a secular prisoner. So he says, "I'm locked into, I'm locked in with, I'm locked in because of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, Paul was writing this epistle to Philemon because Philemon was a rich man, as we'll see here, or apparently he had the means of wealth in whatever way we look at it. He was a rich man and he had a slave. Or maybe he had more slaves, but he had one of which we're concerned. And his name was Onesimus. And Onesimus had run away from Philemon and he had fled to Rome and got lost in all the crowd, the hundreds of thousands of people that were in Rome in that day. And so he was lost in the crowd in that time, and so he became anonymous in the crowd. But it happened so, while he was in Rome, that he met the Apostle Paul. And you know what? He got saved. Onesimus got saved. And so he was a wonderful servant, as we'll see here. He was a wonderful servant to Paul. Paul said that he did wonderful things for him. But he belonged to Philemon. He was Philemon's slave. And Philemon had purchased him in that day and time. They had slaves, and Paul did not condemn this. And he's been criticized a time for doing that. But Paul said, "I came to preach the gospel.
I came to preach the good news. Now let's look again at verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved.
Now, beloved in the scripture is the highest form of love that we can express, and that's the agape love. Beloved. Paul called him his beloved.
And this shows the tenderness and shows the warmth and the pleasantness of Paul. Oftentimes we don't think of him as that way. And our fellow laborer. And then he says in verse 2, and to our beloved Apphia.
Now, this was Philemon's wife. And she was beloved. Now, and it goes on and says, then Archippus, who apparently was an evangelist, who was in that church. Now, Philemon, as I said, was a well-to-do man, and they had the church at his house. Now, a church is not a building like we have here. A church is a group of people gathered together out of the world who are saved, gathered to the Lord Jesus Christ. So,
they had, there was a church in his house. Now, the importance of his wife.
That's real important. Any person who is serving the Lord needs the utmost support of his wife. And I thank God for my wife. I'll tell you that in front of you. She has been a jewel to me throughout the years that I've ministered to the Lord. There's been nothing that I asked her to do that she didn't go beyond in doing for the Lord. And so this is what Paul says here of Apphia.
He says, my dearly and our beloved Apphia. And so this is so important that there is harmony in the home, harmony about the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he's saying here, and Paul is so psychological, as we'll see. He's a master at it. And we need to be that way in working with people. And then he says in verse 3, grace to you, or blessings to you and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we want to go back and we want to look that this is a personal letter.
And Onesimus was a slave. And Philemon was the slaveholder. Now, the letter is a personal letter and even has the name up at the top of the your book. The Epistle of Paul, the Apostle to Philemon. I want you to notice something. He told his wife about it. He told the evangelist about it. He told the church about it. Now look at that. Now, the reason for this, now we want to make clear on this. The reason for this, that Onesimus was from there, he belonged to Philemon, and Philemon was there, and he had a church in his house, and Philemon had a testimony to maintain, and the church had a responsibility, the same as Philemon did, to Onesimus. Now, that was the reason that he wrote it to the church. Now, there are times, for instance, if, let's say, Lena and Ruth there have an argument, and they really get into it, and they can settle it amongst themselves. There's no need to bring that to the assembly and get the assembly all upset. You see, there's a difference in the way that we handle things. And we need to look close into the Word of God and see, now this was a letter to Philemon, but how many of you ever noticed that it was to his wife, to the evangelist that was in the church, and to the church? Because the church there had a responsibility to that slave who had gotten saved, and we sometimes think that a person who just gets saved knows everything. We take that, but that isn't right. They need to be taught. They need to be nurtured. They need to be brought along. And so Paul is speaking here also to the church. Now notice this. I thank my God, verse 4, making mention of you or thee always in my prayer. We should name people in our prayers. Paul did to Philemon, he did to Apphia, he did to Archippus, and he did to the church because that's to whom it was written. And so, God wants us to name people in our prayers. Some people are
adverse to doing that, but I think mainly in our private prayers, in our daily prayers, where we're alone with the Lord, we need to name those people for whom we are concerned. Now, Paul said he'd heard wonderful things. Now, look how psychological he's being. Having, verse 5, having heard of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward whom? The Lord Jesus. That's first. You see, thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Now, I've heard of this, and you have a church in your house. Now, I've heard of this, but how are you going to act when Onesimus comes back to you? How are you going to act to this slave when he comes back to you? This slave that ran off. How is this going to be? You see, so often we don't like to receive back what has gone away. But Paul says that this is the situation that he sees here. Now listen to verse 6. That the communication of your faith or thy faith may become effectual by the knowledge of every good thing which is in you, or that should be in us, a better Greek translation, which is in us in Christ Jesus. Now Paul says, as they see you, they will be gripped in their lives. You will grip their lives by your testimony if it is a real, living, live testimony. Now he says in verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the bowels of the saints, or the heart of the saints, are refreshed by thee, brother. Now Paul says, if this is true of you, Philemon, because you are the owner of Onesimus, that you're doing these things back there. Now sometimes we do things in church life, we do things, but there's a little bit of hypocriticalness in us. There's a little bit of undercurrent in us. We want people to see, but yet I hate Onesimus. That's what Paul said to Philemon, even though if Philemon did, we don't have a record of that, but I'm just using that. What Paul said, you are to be a testimony so that it will grip their lives. But you can't be the testimony that we heard of, that we're hearing of, unless you receive Onesimus the way that you should. You can't be that, and he says in verse 8, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. Now what are you saying there? Paul was an apostle. And an apostle has the right to say to people in the church, you do this. You do that because they were the foundation of the church. The apostles were the cornerstone, the Lord Jesus the cornerstone, but they laid the foundation. And they had a right, but he didn't use that. He wanted it to be in love. He wanted it to come forth from Philemon. But he says, excuse me, in verse 9, yet for love's sake. Now notice, as I said in the beginning, as I have loved you. Now the Apostle Paul knew the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech. Now this word beseech here is the same word as paraclete. Come alongside. The same word is used, of the Holy Spirit. I believe it is one of the most tender words in the whole Bible. This, I beseech. Then Paul uses it over and over again in his epistles. And he says, I beseech you, being such a one as Paul the eighth. He says, now I'm an old man, Philemon. And he said, now I'm also a prisoner. I'm a prisoner because of the faith that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a prisoner in Rome. I'm bound in chains. And he says in verse 10, I beseech you again. I beseech thee for my son. Think of the intimacy. Paul called these people his sons. Why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we? You know, Paul called Timothy and Titus, those young men that he said, my son, my son, my son. There's a relationship there. My son, my daughter. When you lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ, there should be that loving, wonderful relationship. We're not divided by As I wrote a letter today to some people back in West Virginia that lost their son, and they go to a different place than what we did in West Virginia, and they live away from us now. But that love expands beyond that geographical and denominational limit. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is what we need to see. And this is what he's saying here. I beseech thee by my son Onesimus. He names him. And Onesimus means profitable. That's what it means. My son Onesimus, who I have begotten in my chains or in my bonds. He said, I've led him to the Lord Jesus Christ when I was in prison. Now, how many of us, as our brother prayed this prayer tonight about our country, maybe a couple of them did, but how many of us, if we had to go into the catacombs and into the caves and into the various undergrounds, would we go? The Apostle Paul was beheaded for the gospel's sake, so that you and I could have this. And so he beseeches this man. In verse 11, he says, I'm appealing to you, in verse 10. In verse 11, he says, which in times past was to thee unprofitable. But you see, he was to me profitable. But now profitable to you and to me. He's a brother. He was unsaved and now he's saved. Now listen. I think, this is what I think, but I think that was one of the most difficult trips that anybody ever took. And you can imagine, if you were a slave, we live in slave country here, this was the first state to secede from the Union. We live in slave country, it used to be. So imagine that a slave run off, he got saved, and he has to come back to his master. If he's going to be the testimony. I think that's one of the hardest trips and one of the most profound exhibitions of faith that we have in the Bible is of Onesimus. When he had to come back, and he came with Titus to deliver the epistle to the Colossians. You look over in Colossians, you'll see that, chapter 4 and verse 9. I'll just read it to you. And it says, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. He's telling that in verse 7 that he sent this by Titus. Now, in verse 12, he says, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own heart. He's part of me. He's my son. You receive him. Now, Paul's going to tell this Philemon, he's going to tell him a little further on that you too are my son. Paul had led them both to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's telling this him here. He says in verse 13, I would have retained him with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in my bonds of the gospel. He was a good servant to me. But Paul said, now listen to this. This was the apostle who could have said, Philemon, you do this. But love doesn't work that way. Love doesn't operate that way. Now look at this. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. Love as I have loved you. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying. Voluntarily, not compulsory. You receive Onesimus. You receive him in this way. And then he says in verse 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season. He ran away for a little while, that thou should receive him forever. You're going to be brothers and sisters in Christ. If you and I are both saved, if we're all saved in here, we're brothers and sisters forever. Did you know that? Forever. And so this is something that is so, so important. And he says in verse 16, not now as a servant, not as a slave, but above a servant. Now notice, I want you to go back to verse 1. Go back to verse 1 with me. Unto Philemon, our dearly beloved. Now, in verse 16, he says, but above a servant, a brother what? Beloved. A beloved, the same, on the same level. The same level. There is no difference between Christians as far as God is concerned. We're all on the same level, and we're beloved, and we're to act that way. We don't all act the same, but we should. Now he says, he's especially beloved to me, but how much more unto you? Not only there in the place, but he's also in the Lord. He's a brother to you in the Lord. Both of you are brothers in Christ. Now he says, if you count me therefore as a partner, and each one of us should be that way. You're my partner. I'm your partner. And if we could get into that, which we've been into lots of times, there's no difference in the person that stands up here and the person that listens. We're partners. We're partners in giving out the gospel. Onesimus was a partner. Philemon was a partner. Apphia was a partner. Archippus was a partner. A partner together. Friend. A companion. That's what he means here. Now notice this. And this goes back to what the Lord Jesus Christ said. The Lord says, this new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now Paul says, if he has wronged you, or oweth you aught, put that on my account. Now I want you to notice something. If you haven't noticed it before. Paul, have written it with my own hand, and I will repay it. Howbeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self beside. Paul said to him, when he wrote it with his own hand, he was saying, I owe you. But he's saying this. Okay. If he owes anything, put it on my account. I owe you. This is the man that Paul had led to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, you even owe me yourself. Because of me, you've been to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yea, brother. He calls him a brother. Let me have joy, or give me joy of you in the Lord. Let me see that my children are flourishing in the Lord. Herman Lund told me once he had no greater joy than to see his sons in the faith flourishing in the Lord. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. My heart, refresh my heart in the Lord. Refresh me. Oh, it gives me a thrill, he said. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Paul was positive of what would happen. So you see the wonderful heart here. Philemon couldn't say something while Onesimus was away in Rome with Paul and be, doing good. Sometimes we do that and we put up a facade. But Paul said you can't be that way. Perhaps Philemon was. I don't think that he was at all. So Paul says, you receive him in the same way that I hear about your love to others. So that he can come, and he can still be your slave, but he's a brother, and he's a brother like you are, both of you, in Christ. And then he says in verse 22, but withal prepare me a lodging. He says, keep the guest room open for me, for I trust that through your prayers, see, the Apostle Paul was confident of what Philemon was going to do, I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner, in Jesus Christ. He's locked in too. And boy, we have some good prayers of Epaphras. Paul tells about him. Mark and Aristarchus and Demas and Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. For the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.